communications. And I was one of those people who, you know, I had a really amazing international career working for companies like Coca-Cola and Visa, and I was working in Vietnam and Singapore. Like, I had a great career. And then I got pregnant. And I was married, but I really wasn't planning on having a family. It just wasn't something I'd even thought of. And but, of course, it sort of woke me up. I was in my late 30s at that point. And I just decided that I was going to stay home, and I took some time off, to, you know, but I was typical type A, looking, starting consulting, and I started doing some different things. But I just hadn't found the right thing that I really wanted to dive into. And then I actually attended as a participant a group coaching program, and I just walked away saying, that's it. That's what I want to do, is become a coach. So I started studying coaching and internet marketing, and at the same time, and I didn't really know how the two worlds would collide, but I'm so grateful that I've learned both skills, you know.
And I think I remember you telling me that you were actually teaching internet marketing. You were an instructor for a company or a program specifically on internet marketing. Is that right?
Yeah, there was an internet marketing training program, and I signed up as a student, and then they sort of picked me out as one of their trainers and coaches, and so I started working with them. And I'm, you know, I still have some clients from there, for sure, but it's really, I don't like getting into the tactical type stuff about, like, how to create a landing page and stuff like that. I really like working on the strategic stuff, just like you do, Milana, you know? So it's funny, though, because, you know, as much as I started applying what I was learning about internet marketing to try to build a business, and it took about a year and a half. And despite having, like, a strategic mind, honestly, Milana, I wasted about a year and a half of my time just not really being able to market myself. And then I kind of took a step back, and I realized that I really wasn't doing this strategically, but I was just kind of going out there and, you know, assuming the right people would find me and assuming I even knew who the right people were. And so I paused, thankfully, and I realized that what I was really missing was understanding my niche, understanding who my ideal clients are and what I was really doing for them. So I basically stepped back and I started reading everything I could about niche and about finding your niche. And I ended up putting together my own system, like my own step-by-step system for how to find a niche. And I just threw it out there in this report called 10 Steps to Finding and Attracting Your Ideal Niche, which has gone through several versions by now. But and it just caught on. Like, within like 2 weeks, I had over 100 people request it, which was more than I had in a year and a half prior to all that. And I knew I was onto something. And took a step back again and looked at it and analyzed my passions and my strengths in strategic communications and my passions for helping other people build their businesses and help them avoid the time and frustration of working without this strategic foundation. And I realized that really helping coaches and other solo professionals find their niche and attract their ideal clients was really the perfect niche for me. So that's kind of how that all came about.
Now, you're from Canada originally, is that right?
You caught me. Yeah, that's why I say niche instead of niche.
Well,
I grew up in Montreal.
This is going to trip me out because I hear you say niche and I say niche and I, you know, I'm going to start something later on. So I'm going to stick with what I'm used to. But let me ask you, why do you think that niche is such a big problem for entrepreneurs to begin with? Isn't it something where, you know, you see a problem, you want to solve a problem, you know exactly what your niche is because, you know, you're starting a business and you know what you're going to do or what problem you're going to solve?
If only it were that simple. You're right. I mean, it is, I have found it is the biggest roadblock. And if you think about it, it's the strategic foundation for your business. You can't market yourself effectively unless you're clear about it. So, you know, it does take some time to figure out the right niche for you, but it's worth it because everything else is built on that. But I have found that the biggest problem is that there's a fear. It's more of a mindset around niche that really trips people up. So the four biggest fears that I found is, first of all, people are afraid that they're going to turn away business. You know, that's a big fear. So let's say I'm a coach and I help coaches find their niche. So let's just use me as an example. So I'm afraid that if somebody comes to me who's, you know, doesn't fit within that exact mold, then I'm going to lose out on business. And the truth is it's not. It's not that you're not going to take people who, you know, are a good fit for you in other ways and you can help with other things, but you need to have that focus in order to market yourself effectively. So, you know, it's just how you perceive that. It's actually something that turns into a strength when you shift your mindset on it. They are also afraid that they're going to be locked into it forever, you know. I mean, I like many people. I like diversity in my life. I like change. I don't want to be doing the same thing forever and ever. But again, it's not going to be that case because you're going to evolve. Your business is going to evolve. You're going to come up with different solutions as you, you know, as your clients solve one problem, you're going to then help them with the next problem. And so it's something that's going to be constantly growing and evolving. And then the third fear I found is they're afraid of choosing the wrong niche, you know, that they're going to do something and it's not going to work. And on the related note, that they just don't even know how to find a niche. So that's why I really think that it sounds so so vague and woohoo, you know, but when you can create a step-by-step system to show people how to find their niche, then it really eliminates those fears of choosing the wrong one or of not knowing how to do it. So some of it's a bit of a mindset shift, and some of it's really just knowing the process.
Right, and we're going to define niche your way, because the first time I heard it was from a guy by the name of David Fry, and he was talking about this idea that there is a horizontal niche and a vertical niche, and where they intersect should be where you focus your marketing in a very deliberate, purposeful way. So, you know, if it's horizontal, maybe stress management, then vertical, maybe executive, women executives, then your niche becomes a stress management for executive, for women executives. And that would be how he defined it. And that was really helpful to understand that cross between two areas where, you know, a lot of people were confused. But before we define that, let me ask you, why is niche especially difficult to identify for coaches and other people who work on personal development with their clients?
You know, I think there's two main reasons, Milana. Number one, like when we're a coach, we want to help as many different people, right? When we know as coaches, when we use our coaching skills, we can help people solve all kinds of different problems. We can help all different kinds of people. So it's a matter of sort of separating the skill of coaching from the business of creating a business, if you will. So in other words, yes, I can help anybody, but is that going to help me create a business? No. I need to be targeted. I need to be strategic. I need to be focused. And so just because I can help everybody doesn't mean I should be. And then the second part is that as coaches, you know, we know we have an area of specialization, but we tend to want to help the whole person. We want to help them with all kinds of issues, and that's going to happen. If you're helping them with a specific area, if you're helping your client with a specific area, there are all kinds of mindset issues and other issues that are going to come up that you're going to coach them through. So again, it's not something that puts you in a hole. It's not something that keeps you restrained. It's just something that gives you strategic focus. And then you are going to move beyond that area of specialization. You are going to help other people, but you need to have that strategic focus so that your ideal clients will really feel, hey, she's talking to me. This is the perfect person to help me with what I need. So, again,
We spent quite a bit of time in this particular program, in Membership Program Secrets, working on identifying the niche slice, and people were just, you know, going crazy over it because all of a sudden, you know, somebody who is a career coach, and Milana was telling them to focus on a niche slice, and that, in a lot of people's minds, was just so extremely limiting and difficult to say yes to one little piece and, you know, kind of put everything else in the background, leave everything else behind. And that's not what I was, you know, trying to do at all. All I was trying to accomplish is to identify that one piece which you can use to attract your perfect audience, and then you can take them into whatever area else you want. For example, you know, as I was working with some of my, or actually one of my specific clients a few years ago on internet marketing strategies, I ended up doing some relationship coaching, very surprisingly to myself. And, you know, when I was working with my coach, we ended up talking about parenting and, you know, how kids should be trained from within their hearts so that, you know, as they're growing, they're learning not to be afraid of challenges and to welcome difficult things and obstacles so that they're excited to overcome them as opposed to shrinking back. So, you know, all these things kind of came into play, but what attracted me to this person in the first place had nothing to do with parenting. So it's an interesting way of looking at a niche, and, you know, it takes a little bit of courage to say yes to this one piece and then have faith that once you attract people to this one piece, one slice of your expertise, then they'll want some other things from you, and that's where you expand your product line, expand your client base, and solidify your platform within your industry.
Can I tell you a quick funny story, Milana?
And it's, sure.
It's about you. When we were at Kristen Michelson's event, and I'll talk more about this later, but when we were at the event, it was the first time I met you. And I had read your book, Coaching Millions, and I thought it was so amazing. It really resonated with me. I'm really passionate about business, and I really wanted to build a business, not just a coaching practice. So anyway, all these, you know, these events, all these pitch fests, and you were the last person. Do you remember that? You were the very last person on the last day.
Yes, I do.
And I knew. I'm like, okay, I'm not buying any other programs because I want to invest in Milana. So I did. I invested in you, and I was so excited when I did. But I remember going up to you during a break, and I remember, like, I said, okay, Milana, I need to talk to you about my niche because I help everybody else with it, but I need somebody else to look at mine. And I had this fear of being stuck in just helping people find their niche. And I thought, oh, I'm going to have to do this over and over again. It's going to be so boring. Or after I help them find their niche, then I won't have any business, you know. And it's the exact opposite. Because once you establish yourself as somebody who can help them solve a specific problem, okay, what's next? Okay, now we need to create your marketing message and your giveaway and build your list and create your signature system and blah, blah, blah. So it's just, I just want people to understand, yes, there's a fear around it, but it's actually going to liberate you and create much more streams of income and much more lifetime value for your clients versus keeping you stuck in a box. It's just the hook you use to get people in your world. That's all that it is.
Mm. And, you know, everybody on this call, people know how important niching is. And so, you know, at this point, they've heard me talk about it so many times. So, you know, everybody gets it now, and, you know, some people might still be struggling for different reasons. You know, sometimes I find that people are struggling because they're so crazy smart, because they know so much and they can do so much, and they don't know what to focus on. And, you know, there's one guy who keeps coming to my events every single year, and he is, you know, 4 years ago I met him, he's still coming. He still has not made more than maybe $50,000 a year, struggling, working, you know, 12 hours a day because he doesn't know what he's specializing in. So that's how important it is. But so what is the definition of niche a la Cindy? How do you define it?
Well, I mean, it's very similar to what you were talking about about David Fry, the vertical and horizontal. In simple terms, it's just your target market plus the solution that you provide. But I like to add a little extra dimension, and I like to really help people solve what I call the niche puzzle. And there's three pieces of the puzzle. There's your who, your what, and your why. So you have to know who you help, what solution you provide, and why they should work with you. And I add that third part about the why because I think it's important to, first of all, understand your competitive landscape. You need to make sure there's something unique about your solution or your perspective or your approach. So, you know, we don't operate in a vacuum, so I really want people to understand that. But it also gets into branding. It's your opportunity to identify why people should choose to work with you. And it's not just about your credentials. That's where a lot of us get tripped up. We're like, well, they should choose to work with me because I have this degree or that degree. They don't care about that. They just want to know, you know, that first of all, you care about them. So your why is partly, you know, why did you choose to do what you do? Why are you passionate about helping people with this? And it's also about your, you know, why they should work with you in terms of the solutions that you've created that are unique. Like, what's unique about how you're going to help me? It's all about what's in it for other people, right? So when we can really clearly explain, you know, who you help and what solution you provide and why they should work with you, then I think that you really have a solid, sustainable business that leverages your passions and your strengths.
You know, as you were talking about your kind of formula, your puzzle, niche puzzle, I was just thinking that many times I start working with people who are transitioning from an offline business to an online business, and they feel that whatever they've been specializing offline in the offline world is enough to take online, and that's where they trip up, because on online you really need to be findable. In other words, somebody actually needs to type in the words to find you. And nobody cares that you provide a customizable approach to help them gain clarity or that you have some great results. People are going to be typing one specific thing to find you. And if you don't know what that one thing is, then you're not going to be able to transition to the online world. What has your experience been for this? And I know that in my program last year, you actually worked with several of our clients that have a successful offline business, but now they're wanting to go online, and it's different. And it's a different kind of it's a different flavor of marketing now.
Well, it is, and especially as it gets more and more competitive. You know, I mean, the thing is that, as you point out, it's about talking the language of your target market. So if somebody's going into Google, they're not going to type in, you know, find a coach for this. They don't even think about coaching. They think about what the problem is. So that's why in our marketing, we need to be using the language of our target market, but we also need to be focusing on the specific pain point or challenge that they're facing, and we need to communicate everything in that, in those terms, you know. But an interesting side note on this, Milana, is that, like, a lot of times, a lot of the people that I'll work with, one of my favorite clients actually did one of your programs, and he had been an advertising executive for many, many years. He started his own advertising agency, and he came to me not sure how he can build a coaching business. And oftentimes when we've had a successful business or career offline, we kind of say, okay, well, I'm done with that. I want to move on. I want to do something different. But it's a matter of looking at those skills that you've acquired and those strengths, and figuring out how to apply them in this new online environment. So for him, he's actually focusing on helping solo professionals with personal branding, so taking all of his advertising skills and applying it in this new way. Same with me, my background in strategic communications. I'm using all of those skills in research and communications and strategy and applying them in a new way. So rather than sort of run away from our past, we need to figure out which of our strengths and skills we can leverage and then bring them into this new environment. Does that make sense?
I love that. Rather than running away from your past, and I see people do that a lot, you know, now that I'm a coach or now that I'm a self-employed solopreneur, I'm going to do this, forget everything that I've been doing up until now because that was my job, but you actually bring in so much experience and thinking and knowledge to the table at your business that it would be a shame not to use all of that. And so you've done that really, really well. I mean, you took your strategic communication and marketing background and you applied it to helping people discover their own niche in their business and take them further and help them build the strategic foundation. So that was really great. And You know, I wanted to start our call today, first part of the call, with conversation about a niche market because that's what your specialty is. And I really hope that some people who've been struggling with their niche markets and their niche slices maybe heard it from you and it clicked at a different level because, you know, I really believe that this is the kind of thing that you'll hear it from one person and won't make sense. You can't really get through what they're trying to tell you, but you hear from somebody else, and all of a sudden it becomes really clear. So maybe if I wasn't able to get through to some of you, maybe the way Cindy describes this was helpful, because you do describe it differently than I do, but the outcome is essentially the same. So that was really
Can I give one more story on this before we move on, because I just came to me, and
sure.
It might help some people too. Okay, so sometimes, like I talked about, it's looking at your strengths, but sometimes it's also looking at your story. Okay, so I want to give you an example of a client that I work with who's a health coach, and she helps women with weight and mindset around that, et cetera. But when we looked at her personal story, she kept telling me that she had had this health issue that she overcame, and she was really private about it, like she didn't want to say. And it turned out, you know, after I kind of worked with her a bit, that she had had like a serious health issue that affected her ability to really exercise, and it was a rheumatoid arthritis, and she struggled with this her whole life. And so basically what we did was we're incorporating her story of how no matter if you're having, and by the way, she's also a physical therapist, so she works with people who's dealing with injuries and constraints. So we looked at her story and her strengths, and we're focusing on helping women who want to lose weight but have certain constraints that could sabotage their success, but show them how to work around that. So sometimes it's just a matter of incorporating your unique stories and showing what you've personally overcome that's really going to help your ideal clients resonate with you. You know, that's going to help you stand out. So when I was talking about the niche puzzle, you know, why people should work with you, it's really not so much the credentials. Yes, she's a physical therapist, and that's great. But what's really going to help people resonate with her is that she has overcome these challenges. And sometimes people care more about what you've overcome than what you've accomplished. So think about that in your life. You know, what have you overcome that you can help other people with now as well?
Well said. That's another angle for you to think about where you may be specializing or something that you haven't really seen. It, you know, a lot of people in this program specifically do work with other business owners. You know, they're business coaches, marketing coaches, social media coaches, and everybody has a story, something that they overcame in their business. Like my entire message, my entire business is built around the story of how I, you know, didn't want to work 12 hours a day and got stuck at my income level, couldn't grow further, and started looking for ways to get out of that mess, and found the whole idea of this high leverage in my business and recurring revenue, specifically with membership-based income. That was incredible. And so that's kind of led up to this whole idea of Membership Program Secrets and Recurring Revenue Revolution. It is totally based around my story and became my niche in the last couple of years. But you know, let's shift gears for a moment, because I think that especially if you're already comfortable with where you're going with your niche, this was probably a confirmation of you being on the right path. And so let me ask you, Cindy, last year you attended my Recurring Revenue Revolution as a student, as an attendee, and I'm curious, how did it impact you?
Okay, well, at that point, I had in my head an idea of what I wanted for my membership program, but at the event, I literally mapped it out. Like, I walked away from that event with a very clear path of what I was going to create. And I actually launched it. Your event was when? In November, I think, the last event. And I think I launched it in January. So I really came up with a roadmap for what I was going to create. So it just, you know, sometimes when you're, like, at home working on things, it's great. But when you're there, you just totally focus on your business. And you can actually create something pretty amazing pretty fast because you just have that focus, you know, for those few days. So that's what I did. from your event, which was awesome.
Yeah, and, you know, what specifically happened, you know, since you attended the event? I know that you had some specific mind shifts and strategic shifts that you made in your business since the event. What were those?
Well, first of all, I figured out how I can move beyond helping people with just niche. So that was really important for me to help. You know, the program I created didn't just focus on niche. So that was a big one. But the other thing that it's done is helped me create much more leverage. And like you, that's a passion for me because I'm a mom. I've got two boys. I'm in my late 40s, but I've got a 7 and 10-year-old. I kind of started late. And, you know, as a later mom, I really want to be there for my family, you know. And so I really created this program, and it's allowed me to create a lot more leverage. So, you know, I created the program. It's helped me help a lot more people than I could possibly do one-on-one. I've earned multiple streams of income from it. And now I really just save my one-on-one client work with my ideal clients, you know, the people that I most love to work with, the ones who I really connect well with. They really connect well with me. So it's just helped me be a lot more leveraged in my business, which has been great. Mm.
That's awesome. And, you know, you were actually one of my most eager and successful students last year, and that's why I called you up and said, would you be interested in joining my team? And so I'm curious, what was going through your mind when I invited you to come on board as my, you know, my programs, my team success coach?
Well, I was pretty blown away, to be honest with you, Milana. You know, I told you when I first read your book, Coaching Millions, I just really connected with you. I share your passion for building the coaching business. And you just make a lot of sense to me. So I really, you know, I had so much respect for you. And when you asked me to do that, I thought, wow, this is fantastic, because I think that we kind of think a lot alike a lot. And I thought, well, it would be really neat to be able to work with you and help you reinforce the message that I'm passionate about as well. And, of course, there's no doubt you attract some really exceptional people. So I just feel really lucky that I have the opportunity to work with not just you, but with them as well.
Right, that's awesome. Well, before we move on to something I wanted to ask you specifically about what you're going to be doing at the event, I wanted to remind you guys that if you have a question for Cindy, you're welcome to type it up in the little form on the webcast page, and we'll just read that for Cindy when we get to Q&A. But you're welcome to do that, and I'll definitely be checking questions page in just a few moments. You're not just coming this year to learn, although I know that will be, you know, because the content of the event is all brand new, and I'm excited for you to see it. And we kind of been back and forth on a little bit. You've had a bit of a peek behind the curtain of what I'm working on. But you're also coming to share something, to actually share what you've done this year. And there was something special that you shared with me over the phone, and I grabbed onto that, and I said, wow, this is really great. I didn't even think of bringing it into the program this year, and I bet other people would love to know how you did that. So what will you be revealing at the event this year, Cindy?
Well, as you can tell in talking to me now, leverage is a really big thing for me. So, you know, for me, leverage is getting more results from the same amount of effort, okay? So once you've created your program, which you're going to hopefully walk away from this event with your program already done, if not before it, because you're in this wonderful program already with Membership Program Secrets, but now it's time to leverage it. Now you have to figure out all the different ways that you can create multiple streams of income and create more leverage from the work you've already done. So I'm actually going to share 10 different ways that you can leverage your membership program so that you can reach more people and earn more money. And I'm going to share 10 specific strategies, and I can even show specifically how I applied them in my own business.
Which is exactly what you did this year. That was truly amazing, that from one membership program came out 9 other opportunities, or maybe 10 other opportunities to generate income and to add multiple streams of income to your business. As somebody who's already attended one of my events, Cindy, what do you think people should do to get the most out of attending it this year, you know, before the event, during the event, after the event, because many times people go to events and they really, you know, they hop from event to event without really accomplishing much, and I really would love for my event to be different if I can help it. So what would your recommendations be to people who are coming in a few weeks?
Okay, and I'm pretty passionate about this method, so I'll share it. I'm a big believer that we shouldn't learn anything unless we're ready to implement it. You know, I always, in all of my programs, I always focus on training plus action equals success. So the biggest thing is to know how you're going to implement what you've learned. And in order to do that...
Cindy, you're actually breaking up a little bit. Maybe there is a cord, faulty cord, or I don't know if you moved to a different location. There's breaking up in your voice going on.
You know what? Your voice is breaking up, too, I just realized. Can you hear me better?
Nope. You're still breaking up.
Okay. I'm on a cell phone. Let me see. I will move. Is that better, Milana?
Yep. Yes. Yep. Sounds
good. It is? Okay.
Right. Yep. Perfect.
Yeah,
thank
we're
you
having
so
a big storm here. Yeah, sorry. We're having a big storm here. So.
Okay.
So what I was saying was, you know, you always have to create training plus action is what gives you success. So it's about implementing what you learn. So here's the three things that I have done from not just your event, but every event that I go to that really has helped me. And the first thing is before the event, you're going to give them homework, right? Everybody gets homework to do before the event.
The homework has been membership program secrets. Complete that darn program. Bring it to the event. I want to feature you. I want to do the membership showcase to see what people have created. So there's a lot of homework that's happening through this program already that people should be working through. Absolutely.
Okay, so that's the first thing, is get as much of that homework done before the event as you can, because that's going to allow you to really leverage what you've, you know, what you've already learned and apply it now to take the next step and move it forward. So that's before the event. Now, during the event, here's a little strategy that I do that I really helps me. So you have your regular notebook, you know, with things that you're learning during the event, but I keep a separate notebook, and in that notebook, I write down my major ahas and my major things that I am going to implement. So it's my to-do list, basically, after I leave the event. And that way, I don't just have this big binder to go through, but I have a specific notebook where I have the main things that I've learned that I'm going to implement in my business. So that's the other thing. And then, of course, during the event, network. You know, this is a great opportunity. At your last event, I met somebody who ended up interviewing me. I ended up meeting a client. I met a mastermind buddy. I mean, there's so many ways that you can benefit from the people that you're going to meet at the live event. And then after the event is just taking action, you know, taking action on what you have learned so you can create something. And if you get stuck, get help, you know, whether it's outsourcing support, which is something that I started doing after the event. It was my first time bringing on a team to really help me implement, and also working with a coach, because let's face it, you know, you have your plan and you need somebody to brainstorm with and support you, somebody who's done what you've already done what you want to do. So working with a coach to help you implement what you're doing, I think is just so important. So those are the three main things I would recommend.
Right, right. Awesome. So before we get to Q&A, one last question for you, Cindy. Any words, any final words about creating a recurring revenue business? Because that's what it's really all about. This is what we're doing. We're starting with a membership-based program, but not only can you leverage this program into 10 other types of income streams, as you're going to be sharing at the event, but you can structure your entire business. You know, you can come to every income opportunity, every marketing strategy with that recurring revenue business mindset. And I think it's very different than coming to your business with the mindset of getting another client or getting another free consultation. It's really the come from place. So any final words on recurring revenue?
Well, again, something else I'm passionate about is that this is your business. You know, you're building your business. And unlike working in corporate America or wherever else you might have worked, you know, you don't have the freedom to really design things the way you necessarily want to, you know? I mean, we all know that frustration. And so because it's your business, you really should be doing what you love, working with the people that you love to work with. And when you have this sort of recurring revenue model, when you have a membership program, for instance, that allows you to create this leverage, it frees you up to really do the kinds of things that you want to do and to work one-on-one with your ideal clients. So, you know, if you have all these ideas, for instance, about things you want to implement, but you're too darn busy working in your business instead of on your business, right? When you have this recurring revenue model, you'll be able to take on these new projects that you want to do. You'll be able to really save your one-on-one work for the people that you really want to work with. So it just, it gives you freedom. It gives you freedom to create the kind of business that you really want. And then the beautiful thing is, as you said, Milan, is that once you do it once, you know, you're going to be able to keep doing it over and over again. I'm actually working with a partner now on creating my next membership program. And, you know, once you learn the model, you can just keep applying it over and over again in your business. And so, the, you know, as you've done, Milana, you're the queen of it. You've done so many programs. It's amazing. So, yeah, it's all about creating the business that you really want.
Yeah, and, you know, one of my secrets, and I've shared that probably in Module 1 of Membership Program Secrets, is that I stay really closely in tune with my market, with my tribe. Because that, you know, your market is going to tell you what they're looking for. In fact, you may know the story of how I came up with the program, my first big launch. I was working with our, you know, platinum and gold clients this year, and it was January, and I met with one of the clients for a private VIP day. And then she asked me that question, you know, how do you do a launch? You know, can you just give me like a quick step-by-step, quick and dirty list? And I said, sure, here you go. And I just outlined to her on a one piece of paper how to launch a product so that she could launch her program. And I thought, wow, that was almost too simple, because if you get any of the product launch products out there, you'll be overwhelmed. I was, and I've done product launches. So I was thinking that if one person is asking for it, I wonder how many other people want a program like that. And then I did a survey. And I found out that 700 people responded by saying, yes, interested, tell us more. And then I just created it very unexpectedly. So I think that that's key to creating not only a lot of different income streams, but those that will actually sell, is to really be in of your market. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and if you're working one-on-one with, if you're working one-on-one with people, they're going to tell you too, and then you validate it with the survey, just like you did. That's the model. It's like, okay, this is a need. This person's having it. Do other people have it too? Do a survey. Boom. Yeah, I love that.
That's a great way to put it. Is, you know, the idea came while I was working one-on-one with a client, which I don't do a lot, but the little that I do. Allows me to kind of stay really closely connected to the challenges of my market. So just as a reminder, you know, if you want to learn more about Cindy, you're welcome to visit her website, attractyourperfectniche.com. And you're also welcome to come to Baltimore, because you get to meet Cindy and talk to her and experience what she's going to be teaching. And, I just can't wait to share the event with you, Cindy, and everybody else on the call. If you're coming, it is not too late. We do have 6 unclaimed tickets left. So if you're one of the people who did not claim a ticket, now would be the best time to do that, because once those 6 are gone, they're gone. And let me see if there are any questions here. So Debbie from Huntington Beach, California, is asking, I'm addressing women unexpectedly raising children not their own. How can I leverage the soft market? So the market is women who are unexpectedly raising their children who are not their own. How can I leverage the soft market? And her domain name, if I could say it, is grandparentsbeingparents.com.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. I guess the challenge, it's with any niche that we're looking at, is figuring out what people in that target market are already looking for, what they're seeking, what they're buying. you know, if you're looking for something that, you know, people aren't buying, then it's probably because it's not an idea that's going to sell. So you need to, it's like anything else, you need to do your research. I'm a big, big advocate. And if you're looking for some help on doing your research, I just did a blog post about it on how to actually, you know, interview your target market. And then I have some other posts on there about different ways to do some research. But it starts with understanding what your target market is looking for, what they're already buying, what they're willing to invest in. So that's where you need to start. And not being a grandparent raising a child unexpectedly, I don't know the answer to that. So you need to find out from your target market.
Right. And I would say, you know, just looking at the domain name, grandparents being parents, I think that is a very specific niche market. Grandparents who all of a sudden have to raise their grandchildren as their own kids. And I don't know how many of these people are out there, and maybe it's worth a research. And what are they looking for? But I also like to think, is there something that they're looking for that can be later cross-referenced to a parallel market, very similar to what I've done with the coaches as a market? You know, I teach membership programs, which are very important to coaches, but they can also be taught to people who are chiropractors, you know, massage therapists, dancers. Apparently, we have several people who are specializing in dance instruction, which I've never had in my program before. So, you know, there's got to be some common, least common denominator that can connect you to this market, but also allow you to expand to another market in the future, in case you feel, you know, you're ready to grow. So that would be my two cents on that. Another question is from Giselle. When you say get it done beforehand, do you mean completed and ready to go, or just a rough draft? So Giselle is asking about membership program. Well, you know, we're running a contest, so if you get it done and get it on stage, great. And what I mean by done is ready to accept new members. It has to be ready to accept new members. I don't care if you have all your content ready or not, or just a layout, you know, a list of things that you're going to be covering over the next 12 months or 6 months, but it needs to be ready to accept a new member so that when you get on stage, we're actually going to do a surprise activity there that I can't reveal, but you're going to actually walk away with partners, almost guaranteed. If your program is any good, you're almost guaranteed to walk away with partners from the event. So that was
and a lot of, you know, one yes. of the somebody reached out to me from the program, and I'm actually working with them, and she's actually launching it next week. So there are going to be people who have actually even launched their programs even before
wow.
the event, which is so cool. Yeah.
That is very cool. Thank you for sharing that. I can't wait. But Tina is asking, I think that's a question for me. Milana, do you have a separate website for each membership program you have designed? Yes, I do, because each program has its own name, and each program has its own sales letter or sales video. And if I launched it, it may even have its own launch or pre-launch sequence of maybe videos or emails or webinars and so on. But I also list all of my programs under my main site, which is milana.com. And if you click on products, you'll see all of my products there and my programs. So except for a couple high-ticket programs, which I don't market openly, it's something that I, you know, market only either at my live events or, you know, customized by telephone or however else I can do that. That makes sense. But for the most part, each site has its own product, its own program, because it makes marketing sense. As opposed to marketing all of your programs and products on one page, you create these little specialized websites, which people are more likely to buy from because they find that website as a specialty site. And I think we talked about this a little bit before. Let's see.
Well, can I jump in there? Because people get so confused about this. And is there's basically those are just like sales pages, right? So it's not like a whole, people get overwhelmed. They think I have to create a whole website with like an about page and a this page and a contact page. They don't. It's basically just a sales page. You might have a separate landing page. Like, for instance, if you're doing a preview webinar or video series or whatever, you'd have a landing page. You'd have a sales page. But it's not like you have to create a whole new website, but you want to have a specific domain. So, for instance, my program, YourClearPathToIdealClients.com. But guess what? That page is hosted on my regular site, but I mask it so nobody knows they think it's its own website. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
So don't get overwhelmed and think you have to create this whole new website. You don't. You just need to create a domain name and then just mask it to hide whatever, you know, it's called forwarding with masking. If you don't know how to do it, ask your VA. So that basically you just you create a page within your site that looks like its own standalone thing. So don't get overwhelmed by it. It's super easy to do.
Right, right. And if you have a question that you'd like to ask Cindy live, just press star 2, and that will put you in the Q&A mode, and I will unmute you when I see your hand up. One last question came through webcast, Cindy, and that is from Stacy. If Cindy will be discussing 10 ways to leverage your business at the event, has she personally used all of these strategies, and which ones have worked for her with what specific kind of profits? Will you be, you know, revealing the specifics of maybe your income, or is that something that you'd be comfortable sharing at the event?
Probably not getting into numbers. I've always just sort of been uncomfortable or private about that, maybe back to my corporate days about things. I don't know. But I will definitely share with you. It's about leveraging the existing program, 10 ways to leverage it. And so I'll share with you those 10 different ways. And I'll show you some examples of how I did it in my own business. But I think that that's going to be what you need to really help you take the next step once you've already created your program.
Right. So would you be willing to kind of whet our appetite and share one of those 10 today?
Sure. Yeah. Well,
that would be
one of the ways, yeah, no, one of the ways that I love most to leverage my program is actually in working with my one-on-one clients. Because if you've ever worked on the same type of solutions with your clients, you get really tired of saying the same things over and over again, right? So what I do with my VIP clients is I actually give them my program. And that way they spend their time doing the training. They can get all the training that they need through my program. And then the time that we're spent working together, we're really working on implementation and getting things done. So it's much more, we get much faster action that way, much faster results, because they can go and do all the training that they need, but then the work that we do together is really helping move them forward faster. So that's one of my favorite ways to use it.
Awesome. Thank you. I love that. I actually had somebody walk me through her system by giving me the system and allowing me to learn before we would get on the call. And I think that's exactly what you're saying, is leveraging the system or the material so you don't waste time on the sessions and you just get straight to, you know, the implementation of the material, which is so so time-saving and so valuable to the client.
It is, and it's much more fun for me because now I don't have to say the same things over and over again.
That's right.
Like, go listen to Module 3 and do it.
We have a question from Dolly. Now, Dolly is in Singapore, so let's see if we can open her line. Hi, Dolly.
Hi, Milana. How are you?
I'm great. What is your question for me?
Okay, I have two questions. Coaching teams for success, is this a good niche slice?
I didn't catch that. Can you repeat that?
Coaching teens for success, is this a good niche slice?
Did you get that, Cindy?
Coaching teams or teams? I can't quite make out the word.
T-E-E-N-S.
Teens, teenagers.
Teenagers. Coaching teams for success. You know, it's. I think the thing, the challenge with teenagers is, do they have one of the criteria for evaluating your niche is, are they able to invest in it? So, you know, it's a matter of deciding, are you targeting the teenagers? Are they going to be willing and able to invest in it? Or really, should you be targeting the parents? So, you know, what is it that you're helping the teenagers do, Dolly?
I'm actually targeting the parents, and I was thinking that this Coaching Teens for Success would be a domain name for my membership program. And then the teachers who wants to be able to handle teens would come into the program as well. So it's actually for the adults. And if the teens wants to come in together with the parents, I would combine the two. Because if I coach, I have parents who come to me and ask me to coach the teens, and I propose to them that I combine and also want to customize in such a way where if I need the parents to come in for maybe two sessions, then they can actually get the coaching skills from me to help them at home. Meaning they would use coaching conversation with their teens instead of telling the teens what to do. It's basically around communication.
Okay, and you know, I don't know if that's the right name or not. I think just one thing to think about is to always be sure to use the language of your target market and the outcome that they're going to achieve with it, you know. So if when they hear Coaching Teens for Success, are they going to understand what that means? So just think about that, you know. Make sure you're mm-hmm. using language that resonates with your ideal client.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm glad you're starting. I was going to say, Dolly, I think that could be one of your sites. It could be one of your sort of an umbrella website for you as the coach. But I would also encourage you to create a specific solution. You know, coaching teens is how you help them achieve result. But what is the result that they want to achieve, right? Like Cindy said, what is the outcome that they would be attracted to? Is it getting better grades? Is it dealing with friends, you know, challenges around that. So I would look at, you know, something that, why do parents come to you with their teens? What are they looking to get out of, you know, working with you? What kind of help they're looking for and why? Like Cindy said, what, who, and why. I never actually used that terminology, so that's a great way to put that. So that was a great question, Dolly, and hopefully that kind of got your juices flowing as to what you could be creating.
Yeah, I've actually...
I was just going to say that, you know, it raises an important point in terms of the process. We tend to focus on the process. Like coaching is just a tool, you know, whether you're the one doing the coaching or you're teaching the parents how to do the coaching. It's just a process. It's a tool, and we always want to focus on the outcomes that we help people achieve and then making sure we use their language for it. So those are just the two kind of red flags that name raises for me.
Right. Thank you so much, Dolly, for the question. Let's see. There's another question that just came from Tatiana from San Diego. That has nothing to do with our conversation right now. Let's see. That's something that I'm going to respond by email, Tatiana. Something about copywriting. We'll tackle that a little later after the call. I think we're good. You know, this was really helpful. I really appreciate you coming on the line with us today, Cindy. I wanted to kind of get you on board before the event because you came as a student. You are now, a coach on my team, and I'm just thrilled to have you. And I know you'll bring a lot of value to people at the event. So if you have not claimed your ticket, now would be the best time to do that because we've got 3 weeks left and only six unclaimed tickets, which, are only available, and that's it. So, Cindy, thank you so much. And
thank you.
I will see you in Baltimore in 3 weeks. It's only been a few months since I saw you last time.
I know.
We may have you staying in the same
like this.
Week.
Yeah. Awesome. Yay. Okay.
I told
Milana I would only come if I could use your hair care product. We both have curly hair, so that's how you can find me if you're looking for me. Just look for curly hair.
Yeah, the two curly hair girls. Well, thank you so much, Cindy. I appreciate it. I will see you in Baltimore in 3 weeks. And everybody else who is coming and joining us, make sure you come to Cindy and say hello. And I know she would love to know that you've been on this call and, got to know her a little bit better today. I will talk to you soon, everybody. I think we have a call on Wednesday next week. That's our Q&A, and it's going to be our final call where we're going to be really focusing on, you know, the strategic side of your membership programs and anything else that really comes up or came up for you in the process throughout the program. So we'll definitely look at all of the challenges and anything that stands in the way of you winning the, you know, the grand prize of the membership program contest. Bye-bye, everybody. Have a great rest of the weekend. Bye, Cindy.
Take care.
The moderator has left the conference.